this text this morning, it's hard for me to pick a favorite scripture. And it's not my favorite, but it's up there. Because you guys know, I'm always down for an angry rant. I love me an angry rant, especially when it's on social media. But I'm going to try to avoid that this morning. But this is Jesus' farewell address in Matthew. It's sometimes called the seven woes. But it's kind of Jesus laying it all out there. He's showing them a mirror of themselves. He's showing them, this is who you really are. And I found that oftentimes people don't like that. People don't respond well to that. But he's telling them, you think you're beautiful. You think you're holy. You think you're favored by God. You think you're ceremonially clean and pure. But really, you're just like a freshly painted tomb. You look good on the outside, but inside you're dead, stinky, extremely ceremonially unclean, meaning not in with God, not favored by God. And then he uses this analogy of, you decorate the tombs of the ancient prophets. And in doing so, they honor them. And as they decorate them, they think, you know, if I lived back then when those prophets were here, I wouldn't have killed them. I'm more holy. I'm more spiritual. I'm more humble. I'm more righteous. If I lived back then when these prophets were talking to us, I would have listened. I would have done what they said. If only I lived back then, things would be different. But there's so much irony in that statement. Because here the greatest prophet ever, Jesus, God in the flesh, is here. And they're not listening to him. They're ignoring him. And he says, hey, you know, they killed the ancient prophets. Well, there's one here. You're going to kill him. Go ahead, finish the job. Finish the job. So there's so much irony there. And so we really miss, when we use the word hypocrite, we really miss the self-deceiving component of being a hypocrite. The way we lie to ourselves. Because I think a lot of times hypocrites don't actually know they're hypocrites. They don't realize what they are doing and saying doesn't match up with who they are and the way they live and the way they treat people and the way they act, that their described and stated doctrines and theologies don't actually play out the way that they think they do. They are lying to themselves and others. They are putting on a mask. Sometimes you fake something long enough where you yourself believe it. You yourself are being deceived. And so I don't think hypocrites in general today realize how far off they are. But these people that Jesus was delivering these woes to, these Pharisees, maybe some of them were very aware of the front they were putting on. But I bet most of them weren't. I bet most of them really thought they were favored by God. I don't think there's many who are like, you know, I'm really a scummy sinner and I'm kind of a jerk and I'm really arrogant. So I'm going to go put on this front and pretend to be something. I don't think they thought that. I think they really thought they were holy, good people, favored by God. But Jesus was showing them a mirror. He was saying, hey, here's what you're missing. Look at this mirror. See every part. Don't just see the one part where when you go to the temple and you look really nice. Look at all of who you are. Look at who you are on a Tuesday. I imagine most of the people hearing Jesus' rant did what we all tend to do when someone shows us a mirror. When someone points out the part of us that we don't like, when someone points out the brokenness in us or the error in our ways, probably a lot of them got defensive. That's what we do, right? So instead of self-reflecting, instead of being like, oh, that kind of hurts, but maybe they're right, what do? We attack the person who said it. We bust on the person who pointed it out. We say, well, what about you? Look what you do. Of course, you know, they didn't really have much on Jesus to say that. But maybe there were a few who heard what Jesus said and actually thought, oh, maybe he's actually right. Maybe I am kind of missing the mark a little bit. Maybe I am just concerned about these outward religious acts and not very concerned about love and mercy that God has called me to. Or maybe I really am good at loving God with these religious rituals and singing these nice songs and doing these nice things and giving my like he says, is his mint and dill and spices. I haven't really loved God in the way I treat the least of these. And so I think a few in the crowd, were really convicted when Jesus showed them a mirror, when he showed them the things that their own subconscious wouldn't allow them to see. Jesus was showing them that. And it's really interesting. You know, I mentioned the irony in the Pharisees looking back and saying, oh, I would have listened to the prophets, and here they are not listening to one. I wouldn't be like those ancient people. But the irony kind of lives on right now with me, and maybe with some of us, as we look back at the Pharisees and say, well, look at those sinners. I would have never done that. I would have listened to Jesus. I would have been humble. I would have done whatever Jesus said. I would have been willing to change. Maybe not. Maybe when we say those things, we're not being very honest with ourselves. Because like I said, we're all guilty of this stuff. Maybe a lot of us in here are missing the mark just like the Pharisees were. Maybe a lot of us focus on outward rituals. Focus on just ticking a few boxes of what it means to be a Christian, rather than focusing on having a changed heart, showing and giving mercy, repentance, owning our wrongs, living humble lives. A lot of ways we miss the mark, and a lot of ways we're like these Pharisees, and a lot of ways we deceive ourselves, and sometimes that's what we do here, is we come here and we aid each other in our own self-deception. And so this morning, I want us to own that. To look at the parts of us that maybe we don't want to see. To look at the inconsistencies in who we say we are when we say we follow Christ. We all put on a front. We all put up this false self of who we pretend to be and what we say we are. And first, I really want to point out that these fronts we put on, this false self we put on, is usually about others. It's not about God. We're not putting up this false self or wearing this mask or putting on this front to trick God. Most of us know we can't do that. We're doing it to please others, to trick others. When again, in reality, I think that others can see through the false mask we put on a lot easier than maybe we do. Jesus easily saw through what these Pharisees were doing. He saw through their mask. And you know what? I think if you weren't a Pharisee, you saw through it too. I think Jesus was being a leader and he was saying what everybody else already knew. And so he was probably very popular with the people who weren't Pharisees, because they're like, yeah, we knew those guys were fake. We knew they were wearing those masks. And it is kind of scary to think that there's something about the Pharisees that they themselves didn't know, but everybody else did. Everybody else knew they were kind of fake. Everybody else knew they had a front, but they didn't know that. And that's scary to think about. Like, there might be something about you that other people see that you don't see. That's scary to think about. But we put on these fronts to be seen by people. And the Pharisees do that. Jesus said, hey, you pray on the street corner to be seen by people. And so he's pointing out, this is about people. This is about looking good. This isn't about God. You can't trick God, but really, honestly, what I'm trying to say is you really can't trick people as much as you think either. People tend to see through that. I found whenever you, 90% of the time, when you're trying to do something to impress people, you don't. When you're trying to impress people, you're usually not. And remember how these Greek actors, it was associated with idolatry. It's associated with the worship of this God. Sometimes it's idolatry to care more about what people think than what God thinks. To care more about impressing people than being in right with God. And so as we think about this false self, this false persona that we try to put on, I want you to think about, what are the fronts you're putting on? What false fronts are you putting up? What is it that you are trying to, what is the image that you want people to see of you? I said I wouldn't bring up social media, but sometimes what the image we want to portray of us on social media is who we're trying to be. What is this image? What is this false self that you're trying to put up that you think will make you more loved or more worthy or special or good or acceptable? Is it accumulation of wealth? A lot of time it is money. We think money, how much we make, our paycheck, our little kingdom we've built makes us special in some way. And we find our identity in that. But I'm telling you this morning, that's not who you really are. The amount of money you have or the amount of things that you have is not your identity. But a lot of us are finding our identity and our sense of self-worth in that. That is not you. Your paycheck is not you. It is not really who you are. You should not find your identity in that. I have a very close, very dear friend, a lifetime friend, who anytime we start hanging out and reconnecting, he's always got a really cool new toy to show me, a car or a boat or some kind of ATV or a new gun. And I'm always excited with him. Yeah, this is cool. Yeah, let's go drive around in it. Yeah, let's go shoot it. Let's go do these things. And he's always got to let me know how much it costs. And there's some bragging in it. And I can see him finding this sense of self-worth. And I really do need to, in a loving way, address that. Hey, dude, I love you so much. I like you so much. You are a thoughtful, caring, loving, selfless, giving person. And these things that you have don't make you any better. They don't make me like you anymore. I already like you. I already think you're a great person. You don't need to show me all this stuff. That's not where your identity is. So maybe we do that. I think a lot of us struggle with that one. Maybe you're like the Pharisees, though. They found their identity. They projected this false self of being these super religious people, very holy and very spiritual. They wanted to be someone that other people looked at and admired and said, ooh, I want to be like that person. Look how spiritual they are. Look how wise they are. That's the exemplar I want to be like. I think, especially in a town like Abilene, I like that that's something to pursue, but I also don't. Are you finding your status? Are you finding who you are? Are you trying to find greatness in this religious persona that you're putting forward? And in other cases, there's other things that we kind of find this false sense of identity and this false self in. And maybe it's in work success. Maybe it's in reputation and status and moving up the ladder at work. Maybe it's having your name known around town or at school. Maybe it's in your looks. Maybe it's from being healthy or fit or attractive enough. I think, or maybe it's being in the right crowd, being in with the cool people or the pretty people or the wealthy people or the people in the right clothes or the people who live on the right side of town. A lot of us find our identity in that and who we associate with. And I found that this starts really early. Maybe even like earlier than middle school, you know, wanting to be at the cool table, wanting to be popular. And what's really sad is very early on, like elementary school, maybe even earlier than that, we start being told, sometimes subliminally, sometimes outright, if you want to be accepted, if you want to be valuable, if you want to be in with the right people, if you want to be good, if you want to be desirable, you need to quit being you. You need to kill a lot of the parts of you. You're going to have to change your hair. You need to maybe put on some makeup. You need to, those people that you like that you're friends with, they're not the cool people. You need to drop them. Maybe even be mean to them so that you can kind of distance yourself from them so you can be in the right crowd. It is a tragedy that we're taught to do this. Last week, I asked where my band nerds were at. And I say that with pride as a guy who, man, I played trombone. I like band. But it really is sad that it has that connotation because I know there's people who are great musicians, who love playing instruments, who love marching, who quit because they were told that's not cool, because they were told that puts you in the wrong crowd. What a tragedy. What a shame that people gave up giftedness. My mom was a music teacher. She was a choir teacher, and she told me about times people would be made fun of being called choir boy. What a shame. And she was mad. She said they better not quit because someone was picking on them for that. Because that's their giftedness. And you know, I would add to that, hey, you know, like Ed Sheeran and all these other people that we listen to on the radio and on Spotify, you know they are choir boys too. You know they are all in choir. But very, very unfair. And it's a very sad thing when we're told you have to change the good parts of you in order to be acceptable. And I really... This whole idea of having to change yourself and be something different and find your identity in these in these things. It's not something that's just kids. I used to think that was just a kid thing, and us adults, we're all past that, and we're mature, and we know your value doesn't come from the clothes you wear and the stuff you have and your looks. But now I kind of realize that us adults, we taught our kids that. That's why they do that. And so I hate to show that mirror to us and to myself, but we really need to think, how are we outright or subliminally communicating that to our kids? That you need to, hey, that kid you're hanging out with at school, they're kind of weird. They're not cool. You should go hang out with them. Or hey, you need to, hey, maybe you shouldn't eat that. Or hey, maybe this is what, go follow this path, not that one. Because that one's not going to make any money. You need to do this one. So look into the mirror of you as a parent. How are you training them to find their value in things they should not be finding their value in? I remember my daughter to a Tuesday, Thursday school. And she's walking in, and there's another mom there. She looks at my daughter real excited. And she says, oh, she's wearing, insert whatever nice name brand clothing my daughter had on. And as a dad, I'm like, I guess. I don't know. And then she says, oh, she needs to meet my daughter. And so she goes and gets her daughter and says, hey, this is Layla. She's a insert name brand girl. She attached her identity with this piece of clothing she was wearing. And she said, you, to her little girl, you should be friends with Layla. And I was just like, oh my gosh, we're still doing this stuff. I thought we've grown out of this stuff. And really what I wanted to tell her, I didn't. I was just like, but really what I wanted to say is, oh yeah, that's a hand-me-down. That's a hand-me-down. And yeah, we could hang out. We could set up a play date. I could come pick her up in my 20-year-old Camry. And we could go into my multiracial neighborhood here off Pioneer. But I don't think you're going to like any of these things. She's not the person you think she is. But you know what's really a crime there? I'm offended. My beautiful, thoughtful, caring, intelligent, compassionate daughter is not defined by the clothes she wears. And neither is that lady's daughter. It is a crime to define somebody by the clothing that they wear. To define ourselves by any of the things that we've listed. Wealth, looks, status is an injustice to a person who bears the image of God. If we could just believe and know how deeply valued and loved we are by this creative God, maybe we wouldn't get so hung up on what everybody else thinks. Maybe we wouldn't feel the need to put up this false self. Maybe we wouldn't feel the need to wear this mask. I really believe that when we put on a false self, one, we're putting up some things that aren't who we are, but then we're killing some good things in us that are who we are. When we put on this false self, we're showing who we aren't, but we're hiding some of the most special parts of who we are. And that is a crime. That is a tragedy. So God calls us to remove our hypocritical masks, to relinquish this false self, this false persona that we put on, that we want people to like. Oh, please, I'll be someone different. Please like this person. Please accept me. He wants us to relinquish that. And that can be a painful process because we've put in a lot of work into this false image. We put in a lot of work and have a lot of pride in this false self that we put on. And breaking all that down is a painful process, but it's a healing one. And in that process, we get to claim our God-given value that is way better than any form of success or any kind of weight on the scale that we have. So let's relinquish our false self. Quit chasing the value that we already have. And lay aside some of these masks and live in God's acceptance. I don't believe God loves the false self, the false persona you're putting up. He loves the real you. Unmasked you. If you are here this morning and you want to accept that love and be part of a part of his community, that's going to strive to give that same kind of accepting love. If you have any other need at all, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.